on a mission that doesn't work on you.
Oh, no. Before we do that, I have someone else
that you go to minister to.
Speaking of mission.
So today we are talking about a mission, and it's a search and worship mission. And we're going to take a look at some characters in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 2, beginning of verse 1. Oh, you saw the... Go back one, just so you can feel what we're going on. Are you ready? Connor, are you ready? Connor's ready. You look a little laid back to go on a mission like that, but maybe you're ready. Once you drop down into that water, you'll be ready. All right, so in Matthew chapter 2, beginning of verse 1, it says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then, verse 7, "Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him.' After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route." So, these gentlemen were on a search. They were on a search, and they were searching for the King of the Jews. They said, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews?" And we'll have a little picture of what, that's what they were doing. They were searching, and but they didn't just search in the skies. They had to go somewhere, and they had to go for a long distance and for a long time to get there. And they said they were searching for the King of the Jews. They said they had seen a star. They had seen a star, and they knew that someone important had been born. And so they went seeking. Jeremiah 29, verse 13 says, "You will seek me, and you will find me if you seek me with all your heart." And I really feel like that's what these wise men were doing. They were seeking with all their heart. They gave up time. They gave up wealth. They gave up all kinds of things to go on a search to find who was the King of the Jews, the new king. So who the question I have then is who were the Magi? And none of us was there, but we have a glimpse of what they might have looked like. They were not kings. We have sung a song throughout the years, "We Three Kings of Orient Are." Bearing gifts, we travel afar. They weren't kings, but they were instead wise men. They were magi. They were learned men, astronomers. They were a tribe of priests, and they were from Persia. And they were Gentiles, so they weren't Jews. So they weren't Jews coming to seek the King of the Jews. They were what we would have considered as pagans. That's what the Jews would have thought of them. They were Gentiles. They were not chosen. But these men came looking for the one who was born King of the Jews. Their job and their role in the government was to advise the leaders
through interpreting signs. So a star of that magnitude that they saw, it pointed to the fact that something special had taken place and someone special had been born. Jewish legend says that Daniel was the one who found this order of wise men, and that he instructed them to watch for the Messiah throughout the generations. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 48, when Daniel and Meshach and Shadrach and Abednego, when they all went into Babylon, then they then it says in Daniel 2:48 that Daniel was placed in charge of all the wise men, all the magicians, all the people who had knowledge and were seeking knowledge. It probably was not just three wise men. There probably was a whole group. As you see in the picture, it does show us three in the front, but there is a whole company of them following behind. So they were astronomers, and that's how God spoke to them. Tradition tells us that there were three. Tradition also gives them names. So according to, but we don't know that this is the fact, Melchior, Caspar, and Balthazar. And they say that there are three because there were three gifts, because they brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They assume then that there were only three people that brought those gifts. But we don't know that for a fact. So their mission was a search and worship mission, not a search and rescue, but a search and worship mission. And their search was, where is the one born King of the Jews? We saw a star, and we have come to worship him. So the Magi came to Jerusalem, and they talked to Herod. So who was Herod? Herod was Herod the Great. He reigned in Jerusalem for over 30 years. He wasn't a Jew, which is interesting. He was in the land of Israel, but was not a Jew. He was an Edomite who Rome had installed as a king. So he was a vassal king, and he kind of did their bidding. Whatever Rome said, then Herod did. He was paranoid. Talks about the fact that he murdered the Sanhedrin, which were the religious leaders of that day. He also murdered his wife, murdered his mother-in-law. He murdered his three sons. He was concerned that everybody was trying to take power and things away from him. And so to prevent that, he had them eliminated. Convenient for him. So he was jealous of the fact that here was another king of the Jews being announced. So he was not pleased. So when it says that he was troubled, or he was bothered by that fact, by the news, it makes sense. Because of that, he wants to eliminate Jesus. He wants to eliminate this new king of the Jews. And so he tries to use the Magi to find the child so that he can kill him or have him killed. All right, so that's Herod, the Magi, Herod. And then why did they come to Jerusalem? You know, they were looking for the king of the Jews, and they had a star at the beginning told them that something had taken place, but they did not follow a star all the way from where they were in Persia, Babylon area, all the way to Israel. They just went to Jerusalem, assuming that the leaders of the Jews, the religious leaders, would be excited and awed about the fact that their king had been born. And so they went there, and they found that that was not the case. And Herod, he wanted to know where the Messiah was supposed to be born. And so he went to the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and he said, where is the Messiah supposed to be born? And they told him, in Bethlehem. That's what it said in prophecy of Micah chapter 5, verse 2. And we talked about Bethlehem a little bit last week. That Bethlehem means the house of bread, and Jesus was was the bread of life. And so, but they were the religious leaders of the day, and they and it's interesting to me that they knew where the Messiah was to be born, but they didn't go along with the wise men, or they didn't go to Bethlehem to check out something that these gentlemen who had come from such a long distance searching were declaring to them had been born. So that boggles my mind. But they went to Jerusalem because that was the capital, that was the area of influence and where the leaders of the Jews were. And so they went there expecting to get assistance in finding the Jews, and they found that they were not welcome, or in a fake way kind of welcomed, because Herod, I'm sure, was gracious and tried to get that news out of them. So what did they follow up in the sky? A star. Yeah, we're back one. You can go back one. There we go. They followed what? They followed a star. And there are a bunch of different ideas or explanations of what that was. Some people say it was a planet. Some people say it was a comet. And some people believe that it was a literal star, an extraordinary star for an extraordinary person. And I tend to believe it was a literal star. I think, however God did it, he did it, and it stayed over the place where Jesus and his mother were. And mind you, we'll talk about it in a moment. So it was a supernatural event. It wasn't just something that happened all the time. It was a special event. God met the Magi, the wise men, in their area of expertise. They were astronomers. And so through astronomy, not astrologers, like horoscope type thing, but astronomers, they studied the stars. They studied things that took place. And God guides these astronomers by a star. Herod, he questioned the wise men as to when the star appeared. And it's interesting because in our manger scenes that we have, we always have Mary, Joseph, baby Jesus. We have camels and cows, and sometimes we have shepherds. But usually in a nativity set or a nativity scene, we have the wise men there too. But the wise men did not come. Jesus wasn't a baby in a manger when the wise men showed up. They didn't come right after the shepherds did. They came. It probably was 1 to 2 years prior that they had seen the star, and it took them that long to travel to get to where they were going to find him. So Herod questioned them when the star appeared, and based on their answer, he decided to have all the boys 2 and under killed. So later in the chapter, Joseph is warned in a dream that he needs to take Mary and Joseph and Jesus out of Bethlehem, and so they go into Egypt, which fulfills another prophecy that God had installed. And so they make their way out and into that land. And so based on this decision of Herod to kill all the boys 2 and under, it kind of lets you know that lets us know that Jesus was one and a half, two years old. Some people have even said that he was 3 years old. So it was no longer were they at the manger. They were in a house. It says they came to the house where Jesus was, the child and the mother. So that may destroy your theology a little bit of what you've always thought, but hopefully you'll get over it. I have some Kleenex if you need to dab your eyes a little in that regard. So Jesus was probably 2 years old at this time, and the star which they had originally seen, you know, has reappeared. And so they followed the star, and it stood over the place where the young child was. So it was a successful search and worship mission in that regard, because they found what they were looking for. They were looking for the King of the Jews, and they found him. And what was their response? What do you think their response was from what we read? Okay, worship. Okay, they offer gifts. Oh, they were overjoyed. Yeah, so that's the first thing. They were overjoyed, and when they saw the star, which led them to the King of the Jews, they were overjoyed. And I think that when we find Jesus, and when others find Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that there is some joy. There is overjoy. We can be overjoyed with what God has done in our hearts when he comes in and he brings salvation to us. So they were overjoyed. Then it talks about the fact that they fell down and worshiped. And again, these were pagans in non-Jews. And they came and they actually worshiped the King of the Jews. They worshiped Jesus. And I think more important than the gifts that they brought was the fact that they bowed down and worshiped Jesus, who was the Messiah. When they describe this word worship and the fact that they fell down, it's like they threw themselves to the ground as a sign of devotion or humility. So it wasn't just a gentle kneeling, but that they were serious in the fact that they came to worship him. And they gave gifts. How many gifts did they give? Three. And what were the three gifts? Frankenstein. Who said that? Joel? Yes. You notice Joel's influence. Yes. Joel's influence is seeping through the congregation. You notice that Bob now is wearing Batman t-shirts. So probably Dan will be next. I'll have Superman or something, some superhero item on. Yes, she got her little lasso over there. Okay, so the gifts. It's interesting, three gifts, and the gifts, they show us who Jesus was and is, and what he was going to face at that time. So we already talked about what they were, other than frankincense. So we had gold. So gold was a gift for a king. It was symbolic of a gift for a king, a tribute that was brought to a king. You notice in the Old Testament, whenever the kings came to other kings, that they brought with them gold and precious jewels and things like that. Here was the same thing taking place. Gold, a gift for a king. And then frankincense. Frankincense, anybody have frankincense in their house? Oh, look at you. You go. So Mandy has frankincense in her house, and frankincense was a gift for God because it was incense. It was like they would have it in the temple, and it would be a sweet-smelling savor. Talks about our prayers being a sweet-smelling smell to God. And incense was a gift. Frankincense was a gift for God, and an aroma that was pleasing to him. So a gift for a king, a gift for God. So this tells us who Jesus is. He was the King of the Jews. We see when Easter comes around before, and crucifixion on, what is on the cross? What does it say above his head? King of the Jews. So from the time of his birth all the way to the time of his death, he was still referred to as the King of the Jews, but the people of Israel just did not embrace and understand who he truly was. And then the last one is myrrh. Do you have myrrh at your house too? Look at you. You have gold too? Oh, we were going to come and visit then, yeah. So she's got the myrrh.
Frankincense. That's interesting you have that. Yeah. So, myrrh was a gift for man. It was used for what? For burial, yeah, for perfume and for burial. So, like when Jesus was crucified and placed in the tomb, the ladies came to anoint him. They were going to put myrrh and wrap him in and do those things. The same as what they did with Lazarus. That's just what they did for those as they were buried and that had died. So it was a gift for a king, a gift for God, and a gift for man. And because Jesus was, he was fully God, and he was fully man. It's not something that we really can totally comprehend, I don't think, or wrap our minds around. The world certainly doesn't understand it. But I believe that, well, we know this is how it took place, and he was, if he had not been fully God, then died on the cross, then that would just have been somebody dying on the cross. Wouldn't have made any difference. But the fact that he was fully God and he died on the cross for our sins, then he could pay the price and take our sins upon him. So it's interesting to me also that we see three different responses to Jesus from this story. There are three main groups. There was Herod, and there was the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and there was the Magi. And so Herod, what did Herod, was he excited about this event? No, you are allowed to. Pretend you're at the Packers game watching. You can shout things out and be excited. Herod, he hated the fact that there was somebody else that was possibly being considered king of the Jews. And he was hostile to who Jesus was. He wanted to kill him. And that's what he sent others to do. And that's why Jesus and his family had to flee and go into Egypt. And scripture also prophesies that the fact that there was be great weeping, and there was, because of the loss of all boys that were under the age of two were killed after this time. So we have Herod, and then we have the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and they had head knowledge, but I don't think they took what was up here in their brains. Because they knew exactly where Jesus was, or where the Messiah was to be born, but they didn't do anything about it. They were indifferent. And I think there are people in the world who hate God, hate religion, hate who Jesus represents and the fact that he is God. And I think that there are people who are indifferent who, you know, hey, maybe he is, maybe he isn't. He probably was a good guy. We talked about last week how historical it was that Jesus came to earth during a time in the reign of Caesar Augustus and Quirinius. And here we see again now another gentleman, Herod. All historical figures that we can, historians will look back and show that yes, it is a true. Those people are real, and just again shows us that God is very, he puts all the pieces together, and he does it in a way that we can know that it's true. So they were indifferent. They didn't join in the search. They didn't do anything. And then the Magi, they sought out Jesus. They sought out the King of the Jews, and they worshipped him, and they came even at great cost. And I think sometimes in our lives there's a cost to following Jesus. One of the groups that we're going to be praying for next month is the persecuted church, and so we're going to pray for those who are in prison, who are killed
for their families. We're going to pray for the those who face that kind of persecution. We in the United States, we may get a little bit here and there, but we're not getting the things that people in Iran or Iraq or Afghanistan experience when they come into a relationship with Him. So, but I think that sometimes it can cost us friendships, relationships with family, because they choose to no longer have you in their lives because you're one of those God people, and so I don't want to be around you. But I think it's worth the cost. When we look at the story of Luke and Matthew, we see that the angel came first to who? The people that were out. Shepherds. Yeah, he came. In Luke, he talks about the fact he came to the shepherds. And what were they in society? Okay, yes. That's what we talked about last week, and that they were outcasts. And so he came to the shepherds, to the low. He came to the Jews in that regard. But we see also that a message comes to the wise men who were wealthy and well-learned. And the shepherds weren't learned. They didn't have vast knowledge. But these wise men, wealthy and Gentiles. So Jesus comes not to a specific people, but he comes to each one of us. It doesn't matter who we are, what our background is. And he comes and he brings salvation. So I think sometimes we think that I'll talk to this person about Jesus because I think they might believe, but I'm not going to ever talk to this person about him because they're so against it and they'll never come into a relationship with God. But here we have the shepherds, here we have the wise men, people that you wouldn't think would respond possibly to the news, but they did. They responded. They came to the manger as far as the shepherds were concerned, and later to the house when the wise men are concerned. So what should our response be? You tell me. To Jesus. Okay, so we should respond to that fact that he is our Lord and our Savior. And so what should our response to him be on a regular basis then? Worship? What else? Gifts? Yeah. Gifts, whether we give, you know, she can bring her frankincense and myrrh. Somebody else might have some gold. I have some gold from Alaska, so... That's right. Good point. So yes, our talents, our lives, our love. Yeah. I think we can give things that are beyond financial. We can give up our time. We can give our lives to him. I think that's what he desires most of all, is that we would give our lives to him and ask him to be our Lord and our Savior, to ask him to come into our hearts and to change us. And as Sandra tells the kids, make him your best friend. And I think that's our response. Fall down and worship him. Give him gifts. Develop that relationship and grow in him. And tell others about it. The wise men, they did not go back to Herod, but they went back to their land. I'm sure that they had some stories to tell. It would have been interesting to be at their meeting when they came back to Persia and explained what they had done and where they had gone and what they had seen and what they had experienced. So what I would like for us to do is, before we leave this place, is to stand, and we're going to worship together with the worship team for a moment and ask that God would be with us as we go throughout this coming week and step into a new year and what God has in store for us. So, Father, we thank you for the stories in your word that show us who you are and show us what we should too be doing, and that we should join with these magi and we should come to you. We should be overjoyed in our relationship with you, and that we should fall down and worship you, and that we should give you gifts, oh God, gifts from our heart, gifts of our lives, that you would just do a work in us and that you would receive from us, oh God. So that's what we do today. I pray that you would be with us as we go again throughout this week and be blessed today. In Jesus' name, amen.